One thing that we all as Primitive Baptists desire very much, and that's fellowship. First of all, we do desire fellowship with the Lord, personal fellowship, fellowship in, with our brethren and sisters in the Lord. Sadly, I guess might be the way to put it, if we're not careful, we can take that fellowship for granted, can't we? And I say that because fellowship is important to us, and when we have the blessing of it, shall I say, where it's readily available, it's you don't have to travel as far to experience it and to enjoy it. Appreciate it, okay? Take advantage of it. Treat it like a precious commodity that it truly is, because fellowship is a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's part of the bond and the tie, of course, that binds us together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Like to share with you, to begin with, three verses from the psalmist David, Psalm 131. David said, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor are mine eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever." So stand before you this morning, I certainly believe that I can have a fellowship with David in his psalm. I'm just a little child. a funny looking little child, but a little child. I just realized today in thinking about many things and praying for this opportunity that y'all have been at this almost 50 years. Now, some of these brethren got me beaten that a long way, and God bless every year that they're ahead of me. But, when you stop and think about those kind of things, a lot of thoughts go through your mind, don't they? First of all, as with me, It's the thoughts of regrets, things that I look back on and realizing that I've been at this as long as I have. A lot of things that, I certainly wish I'd have done them differently, that I'd have taken a different approach. I guess the most important thing that we all learn, of course, is that I wish I'd have known then what I know now. You know, I heard a minister say, if experience were a pill, I'd order a life supply of them. And certainly, we are thankful though for our experiences and as we come this far along, realize a lot of things that we could have done differently, but we're thankful. That we've been here and been able to experience the things that we have with the Lord's people. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to the little epistle by the Apostle Paul to a man by the name of Philemon. This is, in order, the next to the last epistles of the Apostle Paul that we find, of course, in the New Testament. The next epistle after this is his epistle to the Hebrews. In this particular epistle, it's probably considered maybe the most personal of the Apostle Paul's epistles. Certainly, though, having said that, you just won't be able to read any of the writings of the Apostle Paul without knowing that the Apostle Paul, he's the author of them. Paul was a dynamic man, of course, as you know. Paul was a man that one of those kind of fellows that if you had problems understanding where Paul stood, the problem was not probably with Paul. He was pretty plain spoken. And what we know of him, of course, not only from his writings, but from the experiences that are recorded about him in the book of Acts. Here was a man that truly was a mouthpiece for the Lord. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a well-educated man. He was educated in the things of the Lord. He understood the law of God probably as well as any man in his time. He was a giant among men insofar as God's word and God's law was concerned. And of course, God was raising him up for a purpose, and God was blessing him in his understanding of the things that he understood of the law of God, and of course, called him then to be an apostle. Paul was such a man of such stature in his experience of who he was, the things that he had learned, that my understanding is God in his care for his church and the things that he desired to show and to teach the people in those days, the Jews as well as the Gentiles, that he raised Paul up for that purpose. And he not only raised him and blessed him to be the man he was intellectually, the man he was spiritually, and of course the man he was to become spiritually, but also he gave him some great experiences. You know, experiences say a lot, you know, for people when they are a spokesperson or they are the voice for a certain organization or a certain cause. If their experience is on the level, of course, like the Apostle Paul's was, well, it can have a lot of impact upon what they say and, of course, the cause that they're out to defend and to care for. And, you know, Paul could write to these different churches and he could talk to them doctrinally, but because he had that mind. I mean, he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. As I said, he was a well-educated man. And God blessed him. That was his life. You know, that's what he devoted his life to. So he could sit with the doctors of the Jews as well as the doctors of the Gentiles. And he could converse with them. He understood their language. He understood many things about them. And so he was a very unique person, and of course a very unique apostle, one born out of due season. God is a God of providence in many different ways. And God raises up men, and God raises up churches. God brings up even sisters, even women, for his cause, as he understands, as he knows that person individually or those persons collectively are needed for a situation or in a place, geographically speaking. I'm one that personally believes that God did that for this country, for this nation. Not only did God bless us with forefathers, such as the ones we hear about, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, et cetera, but also men who were our fellow laborers, if you please, men who were preaching the gospel as we preach it, as we understand it, and who were willing also to embark to a new land and to live the pioneer life and to make the sacrifices and so forth that were made in order to bring the church to the shores of America. And, you know, certainly we're thankful for that. So the Apostle Paul, in the man that he was and the experiences that he had, God blesses him to not only be intellectually able, but he's, of course, he himself decried his speech, his ability to communicate orally. He said he was a man of I think he used the word contemptible speech. Some said about him the things that he said, they were hard to be understood. Well, if his preaching was anything like his writing, I would say amen to that, wouldn't you? but here, you know, God used him in those ways. We pick up the New Testament, of course. And once we get past the first five books, the Gospels, and the Acts of the Apostles that tell us those experiences that were there, then we come to the book of Romans. We begin to read Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Ephesians, Galatians, you know, all of those wonderful epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. Epistles that are just literary geniuses.
Yes, sir.
You know, some of the longest sentences in all of literature you'll find right here in Paul's writings. You know, and I remember many years ago, whenever I was in school, and by the way, I was a young man, I was a boy, a teenage boy no less, in school, and one of my favorite subjects was English and language and writing. And my eighth grade English teacher, 7th and 8th grade English teacher, she taught me how to diagram sentences. I wanted to say divide sentences, but that's divide the truth. It's no, the diagram sentences. And I was good at it, believe it or not. I was the best in the class. And about halfway through the class one day, some of my fellow students were saying something about, well, why is it that Thomas is so good at diagramming sentences? A teacher looked at that class and said, well, you all may not know what this means, but Thomas is a primitive Baptist. And he reads the King James Bible. And I said, well, at the time, you know, I really didn't know if to take that as a compliment or what. But my point, of course, here's the Apostle Paul. He's wrote all these great epistles. You know, just it's astounding to read them. A lot of times the best thing to do is not to sit down and try to understand them. Just sit down and read them. You know, and let them read to you. You know, and just read them over and over again. You know, I've encouraged every church that I've tried to pastor, you know, pick up your Bible every day and stick to a schedule that'll work. If you don't read but one chapter a day, if it takes you 3 years to read through the scriptures, well, that's fine. Just read it. As one of our beloved elders that I remember many, many, many years ago says, and you know who I'm talking about, he said, read it to know it, study it to stow it, and live it to show it. And, you know, well, it starts with the reading process. You got to read it to know it. Well, as we read all the literary things that Paul writes, then we come to the next to the last epistle. And actually, from my personal experience standpoint, as I, you know, have tried to read and study God's Word over the years, This little epistle seems to become more and more precious to me. And that's the little epistle of Philemon. The Apostle Paul takes pen in hand and writes. Of course, he wrote to Timothy and he wrote to Titus, and those were personal letters to, and all of his letters were personal. But they were chock full of, you know, of good stuff. He was chock full of high energy protein drinks. But I think we see Paul's truly Paul's personal side when he picks up his pen and he writes to Philemon. And he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And I don't think this was just Paul saying this to be courteous. I think Paul meant that these that he's named, that he truly says, whenever I pray, I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you, and I'm thanking my God for you. Always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In these first few verses, the Apostle Paul, of course, opened with the address to Timothy, our brother, and Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Fellow laborer. Over the years, as I've read that, one of the first things that still comes to my mind is, you know, I wonder what it would have been like to have labored with the Apostle Paul. I've had the blessed experience of laboring with a lot of good brethren and sisters in the Lord. In the time that I've been blessed to pastor churches, in the time that I've been blessed to go to the Philippines with some of these brethren, and in the time that I've had to come to these kinds of meetings and to labor in God's kingdom together with them. And all of them, of course, I consider, you know, to be light years ahead of me. In laboring, you know, in any workforce, in most any situation that you could imagine, if you get very many together, you're going to see that in the group that there'll be those, shall we say, the natural leader types, the take charge guys. It's just their nature. I thank God for them. That's not my nature. You know, I do much better to follow along. That used to bother me. It still does. You didn't get that? But I've learned to be a follower more than I used to be. But here's the Apostle Paul, this great apostle, is, of course, I use the word great in that way, but can you imagine getting a personal letter from the Apostle Paul like this man did? And, of course, he's talking about these individuals that were his fellow laborers. Fellow laborers. Paul was a man that labored much, of course, in God's kingdom and for his namesake. And I think a lot of times when we hear messages about the Apostle Paul or in messages from his writings, and we are alluding to the Apostle Paul, that we actually do Paul a disservice if we don't always remember that he always had fellow laborers. Amen. I've always gotten the idea that Paul was a man that really didn't like to be alone, especially after his Damascus Road experience. Because on his Damascus Road experience, of course, as you remember, after the Lord spoke to him, well, here's the apostle, here's Saul, and he's been struck down on the road to Damascus, and he's blind. And, you know, the Lord knows how to get our attention. And of all the things that happened to Saul on that occasion, I can't help but believe, you know, of course he heard the voice of God. He spoke with the Lord. He had that communication with him. And as soon as it was over, he's blind. Here's this great Pharisee of the Pharisees. In order to get to his next appointment, if you please, he had to be led there. He was blind. And you talk about humbling a fellow. Now that'll do it. And so, so from that point forward, here was a man who was used to commanding men, who was a man that was used to being out front, being in charge, and it didn't bother him if he was by himself. It didn't appear to bother him, as best as I can tell from what I read about his life and experience in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, what there is there, and from his writings, that he was okay with being the man on the mountaintop, and he when he barked, everybody jumped. Until the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and from that point forward, you know, he learned and he desired that fellowship. Fellow laborers. Here are my fellow laborers. People that we work together in the kingdom of God. We walk together. We spend time together. But most importantly, we labor together. And worship together. And of course, the thing that I find in studying of the scriptures, not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament, is a very simple principle, in fact. Brothers and sisters, that a lot of times, if we're not careful, we simply overlook it. And that is that when God calls his people together in a fellowship, we call it the assembly of the saints, the church of the New Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're not just called upon to worship together, we're called upon to labor together, to work together. Sadly, I see a lot of times in the lives of people that I've pastored for these many years that they just simply either don't want to go there or they fail to grasp the concept or what. You know, they're more than willing to worship together, but to try to get them to labor together, it's like pulling teeth. And that's not a pleasant experience, you know, even with today's medication. After a while, the medication wears off and the pain stays, you know. Well, but thankfully that's not true of all. You know, one of the greatest joys that I've had in being a part of the New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only as a pastor, but as a member, as a part of the congregation in the pew, is laboring together in God's kingdom. Spending time together, of course, and laboring together in his word. But not only that, but in whatever labor there is to be done. And it can be as broad as the world that we live in. Or it can be as narrow as a particular need that might be presented to us that we have to take care of. And may God bless us, of course, to always labor together and have those fellow laborers. But that's not, of course, all that he talked about here. our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. Our fellow soldier. You know, when we labor is always, of course, much better when we labor together, when we have someone to labor with. But I can only imagine what it would be like to have to try to fight, to be a soldier alone. You know, my hat's off And if I'm allowed to, you know, I'll salute, you know, all of our soldiers. You know, I'm thankful for them. Sister Lane and I have been blessed to have a son that was in that capacity. Did the years that he did and is retired from that. And my hat's off to him and to all others like him. And here the apostle not only uses the fellow laborer concept and idea, but then he goes from that to fellow soldier. Soldiers, of course, are a needful part of society. Oh, it would be nice if we could live in this world without having to have soldiers. But that's not the world that we live in. You know, we need our military. We need our soldiers. But not only do we need our soldiers, but we need good soldiers. We need those that are committed to the cause, committed to the work, and most of all, committed to one another, fellow soldiers. You know, teamwork, the very concept of teamwork just falls apart if you're not willing to be a part of the team. You know, if it's all about me, of course, I heard one minister say one time, well, that doesn't destroy the concept of team. It just makes it a one-member team, which is not necessarily a good thing, of course, but I hope you understand the thought. But he addressed him as our fellow soldier. Not only do we need to be willing to labor together, of course, but sometimes that labor may turn into, having to deal with the battles that come our way. To be willing to go to war together. That may sound like strong language, but and we've been really blessed here as Primitive Baptists, don't you think? I mean, we've had some skirmishes, some pretty good skirmishes. In my opinion, if I'm wrong, I apologize. If you feel stronger about it, well then, but even in those things that we've battled in my lifetime, things that have come up among us as a people. You know, that my own personal experiences, I've witnessed those things, I've heard those things, and I've tried to take up arms against them. Two things that have comforted me and blessed me to press on when those things occurred, of course, was the Word of God and my fellow soldiers. You know, whenever I would go to meetings like this and hear men of God like we've heard this weekend, men that I've heard almost all my life stand up and defend the cause and the truths of God, well, that gives me courage to press on. Fellow laborers and fellow soldiers. And lastly, of course, in verse 23, I'll make a couple of remarks about this and I'll sit down. He says, "Dare salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus." You know, of all three of those things, laborer, soldier, and prisoner, prisoner makes it the most personal. Can you imagine being in a jail cell, an inmate, where you are, and knowing that that's the face that you'll have to look at for 20 years? Maybe. All the things that you're going to have to endure, there you are, fellow prisoner. Well, here we are, prisoner. Prisoners of the Lord. And we are prisoners. You know, we can be prisoners for a lot of reasons, of course. We can be prisoners because we've done the wrong thing, or we can be prisoners because we stand for the right things. And I hope that we're fellow prisoners today, because we're here this morning standing for the right things. May the Lord add his blessings. This is my prayer.